Hey everybody, you're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast, and today we're talking all about the Big Bend National Park. All right, let's go. Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm full.
That was excellent, yeah. All right, so before we get into the subject matter today, we got to thank our sponsors, which all of us have just stuffed our face with, Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was good. It was awesome, too, because you sent us links to order.
That's
well,
right.
Well, yeah, we were like, how do we go, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And there's this cool thing. There's this online order thing that you can link other people to.
Which was actually my first time to use it. But yeah, Mighty Fine has launched a new service called either pickup or curbside. But essentially, you place your order online, you tell it the time you want to pick it up, and boom, it's right there waiting for you when you get there. Yep. And we did a thing where there's four of us eating our burgers, and we all like different stuff. I mean, I got FOB Beast.
Never had it. It was amazing.
It was so good. It was on the local menu.
It was local menu.
Which is all there built into the website. But I set my burger, and then I sent you guys a link. Y'all used the link, set your own burger. It got added to the order, and then Mr. Todd went and picked it up curbside.
So it was there. It was a single order.
Yeah, one order.
And we each one could have checked out with our own payment for our own particular order.
Instead, we made Chet buy it.
Yeah, that's right.
I loved it. Yeah. It was awesome.
It was really good.
Thanks, guys.
That was the best burger ever. Because Chet bought it.
So that would make like office ordering or party ordering super great.
Oh, super easy.
Instead of like standing in line with your phone, like, oh, let's see, my friend wanted.
Mighty Fine is a bit popular these days. You hit it at the lunch hour, you can be standing in line a little while.
I will say this, I avoided the line.
That's right.
You cut right past it. Mighty Fine. It must be ahead of the curve. Yeah. I haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
Smart.
It's sort of like a drive-through experience without a drive-through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you, Mighty Fine, for keeping us well fed for this podcast. Let's talk about Big Bend.
So how many national parks do we actually have in Texas?
Well, that's kind of a complicated question. So there are officially two natural national parks.
Okay.
So there's Big Bend.
Sounds like a simple answer.
Yeah, that's right.
So far it's not complicated.
Pretty easy.
Then you got the national historic parks, which are also part of the national park system.
Aren't they historic sites?
No, they're parks. There's only two of those.
So there's a difference in national park and national historic park.
Correct.
But same organization that runs it.
Well, the organization that runs it gets even more complicated than that.
Oh, wonderful.
Because they run our national monuments. They can run our national, refuges and wildlife preserves. So the National Park does way more than, National Park Service does way more than just run the national parks.
The two national parks
that we have.
Guadalupe Mountains
National Park and Big Bend National Park. But if you go and talk to the people who are connected to the two national historic parks, they'll take great offense if you don't consider them a full-fledged national park.
So the missions in San Antonio is one.
One is, yep.
The rest of the missions, because everyone knows about the Alamo.
Right. It's the other...
The full name of the Alamo.
I don't know if the Alamo is part of... They consider that part. I don't think so. But it's Concepcion down to Espada, with San Juan and San Jose in there too.
Right.
And so those are the national parks. And then also the other historic park is the LBJ Ranch in Johnson City.
Right.
Yep. Those are the only two. So total we have four. Two are natural, two are historic.
So what's the fort out in Fort Davis?
That's a national historic site. So that's another thing too. Yep. And not a national park.
And isn't there something up by Amarillo? There's Flint something.
Oh yeah, Alabate's Flint Quarry. I think that's a national monument.
Okay.
Also run by the National Park Service.
That's because it's a quarry. It's not a natural.
It's because it naturally had Flint there and tribes of people before they were tribes and before they were people went there, and there's tool markings and things were made.
Yeah.
And it was a settlement
It's a culturally important spot.
Right.
And so they don't necessarily call it a park because the parks are, natural in nature.
Right.
And then there's the historic parks, which are purely historic in nature. But then there are these monuments that are somewhere in between.
They're important.
Yeah, they're important places. Oh, another one that's part of the system is the Waco Mammoth site.
with all the
just
mammoths.
Got its national
yeah within the past few years
accreditation or recognition or
so
protection.
Seemingly yeah. innocent and simple question just completely like well
yeah
thanks Doc appreciate you making
totally.
That money
so yeah it's a little more complicated than it may seem at first, but if you want to boil it down to just the natural national parks, we have two, only two,
and wilderness. What was it? Because there's something really what? Awesome at the bottom. Okay, so oh. there's the Big Bend sign. Welcome to Big Bend National Park, a U.S.
biodiversity preserve or something.
Wilderness wow. preserve and river. Oh man,
where wow. was the biodome?
Pauly Shore was there somewhere.
And one of the Baldwins. I don't know which Baldwin it was.
But we've yeah. already got derailed. Let me introduce you to who all's here around the table. So as you've heard already, we got Mr. Todd White
howdy,
here,
howdy.
Daniel Meese
hello.
Over here, and Richie Lozano.
Hello.
Yep.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I want to ruin
it. We started out pretty good.
Hello.
Yeah.
But, all right, so today we're talking all about Big Bend because, well, it's fresh on our brains. And I have a lot I want to say about Big Bend. We got the episodes coming out this October. They're going to kick season 8 off, which is crazy, season 8. It was my fourth time to go to Big Bend, but a couple of you guys here, it was their first time. And so I think my perception of Big Bend keeps growing every time I go back. It changes a little bit, but these guys, you know, the first timers out there probably had some different perceptions than even I had. And Todd, safely at home, drinking his craft beer and with his Wi-Fi, did not go with us.
I was quite happy. I had my venture out with Devil's River, and I took this one off.
that was quite an adventure for you. That was a big departure for yeah. usual Todd activities.
Mr. Wi-Fi model shooter. But hey,
well, hey
we
man.
Missed you. We missed you, and you need to go back.
Well, here's a tough thing. Maybe Todd made a good decision because the lineup that went with us out to Big Bend was nothing to sneeze at. It was
oh, yeah.
Chet who'd
not
been there.
All.
Three to four, this would be his fourth trip, and Chet's no slouch at adventuring. Daniel's done his fair share of mountaineering and such, and then you brought on Bargo,
yeah,
who professionally takes people up mountains.
He's climbed things like, Denali,
yeah,
Kilimanjaro, like 12 times.
Yeah, like regularly goes yeah. past 10,000 feet
oh, yeah,
up
yeah,
these
yeah.
mountains. Matter of fact,
and then Travis.
And then Travis, who is a monster, does that the hardest.
The safari
race. Run? What's
yeah,
it called?
Yeah, the water safari.
Water
safari.
Which is like one of the hardest canoe or
it's one of
water
the hardest
races
in the
world.
Yeah, it's the hardest canoe race in the
and
world.
And so you've got, you know, semi-elite athletes, and then I'm going to haul.
Take me out of that.
Right, yeah. And
I,
so,
I wasn't one of the
so,
athletes.
So Todd, and then Andrew, our the audio guy, Andrew Twinter was with us too. He's like 6'20" and
90 pounds.
And that, well, yeah,
yeah.
He's a tall, thin man. He was a giraffe out there, so he could take steps twice as long as mine. So trust me, Todd. Maybe it was a good idea for you to stay because those guys did some of the big kind of climbing, and I was happy.
Well, in base
of
the stories
camp.
That came out of that trip, which we'll talk about in the next podcast, another
yeah.
podcast is behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I did make the right decision.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
so maybe a good rule of Big Bend is to really pay attention to your group.
Yeah,
and who's going? Because there's so much to do that if you all want to go get nuts out there in the wilderness, you can. Or if your group wants to stay back and kind
yeah.
of do some of the easier stuff, because it's so wide ranging.
Oh, man.
Other things you can do and it'll test you.
Yeah,
there are things that can really test your limits and your speed. So it's a great park for doing all the ranges. But if you got a group of guys that are used to being in the upper echelon. And you got people who just can't hang. It might
Chet,
split you up.
Why Big Bend? Talk about like what are some things about Big Bend and facts
yeah.
and stuff about it. What
yeah.
draws you back?
Well, I mean, first off, I think Big Bend is a mystery to a lot of folks. It's way stinking out there in West Texas, which makes it hard to get to.
Well,
I think if you want to fly to Big Bend, your closest airport is 4 hours away. So you're not really flying to Big Bend. Everyone drives. It's sort of a big, long process to go through the desert, you know, kind of past Fort Stockton, through Marathon, kind of get lost out there. And then you arrive at this park, which feels like another planet.
kind of.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
And that to me, that's what keeps drawing me back, is sense that you're going somewhere that requires effort and then requires your full attention, because the internet's really spotty out there. You know, cell phone coverage not so great. So you're really there. You've made a huge effort to get there. And you sort of like soak in. You sort of slow down and soak it in.
So there's probably not very many Pokemon catches and stuff to make.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just kidding.
Pokemon are out there.
It's brand new.
That's a good point.
No, it's true. The effort does get you out there, and the scenery kind of yells at you. And you're driving fast down this like little highway, right? But the mountains are so big, and you're far enough away from them that you kind of get into a bit of a trance as you see this big stuff far away kind of move past you, and it really starts to inform how you start to perceive the rest of the park.
Yeah,
with these kind of these big mountains kind of looking at you from far away with nothing in between them, just flat in between them.
Yeah,
and so you kind of start to get in the vibe on the way into the park.
Absolutely,
how it's gonna feel. It's no just like, oh, you turn the corner from the city and here's this different park that kind of changes landscape. No. It you're prepared in that drive, that big trek to make it. You're prepared for how the park is going to look and how to kind of change your mind. To kind of get out there.
That's true. I mean, the closest jumping point is Marathon, and it's still about 40 miles from the park entrance, which is still about 40 miles from the visitor center.
Oh, yeah.
So,
exactly.
When you get to the park entrance, you're like, we made it. It's like, no, you didn't. You still got...
You're on the edge.
Yeah, wow. 40, on the border. 45 miles or something before you actually see humans.
Wow. So, like, square mileage is nuts.
Yeah, so I've got a little few facts here about Big Bend National Park. It is 1,252 square miles, which is bigger than the state of Rhode Island. Yeah, so our national park within Texas, which is only a small little piece of Texas, is bigger than another state. It's officially the 15th biggest national park in the country, which that means something. But one of the coolest things about it is it covers so much land, so you get an incredible amount of diversity of landscape. I think people think that they go there, they see nothing but desert. But you've got over 100 miles of the Rio Grande River, so you got the whole river corridor that winds around. And we should say it's named Big Bend because where it is in Texas, it's right at the bend of where the state dips down there in West Texas. So you've got over 100 miles of river, you've got all this incredible desert lowlands, and then right in the middle you have this literal mountain range, the Chisos Mountains, which sort of come up into the middle of the park. And you can spend your time doing all of it or some of it.
So you actually mean that Big Bend, I was looking it up, is bigger than Yosemite, which I would have thought Yosemite would be bigger than Big Bend.
Oh yeah, no.
That's impressive to have that in Texas.
That's cool. I didn't know it was bigger than Yosemite. I mean, but Big Bend is massive, and you know, I think you really have to overestimate the time that it takes just to get from one side to the other, because the Chisos Mountains are sort of like right in the middle. But if you want to go to one side or the other, it's an hour. You got to be in your car an hour before you get to all the different things that are spread out throughout the park. What's really cool is I think, you know, as you kind of drive through the desert and then you start that ascent up into the mountains, and when you sort of crest over and you drop down into the Chisos Mountain Basin, it's sort of like this big sort of soup bowl in the middle of the mountains where they have a lodge and a restaurant and Wi-Fi, things like that.
A little bit.
That's kind of one of the aha moments where you just realize, like, I thought I was in one park, now I'm totally in a different park because I'm up in the mountains now. And with bear and mountain lions.
Wow.
Daniel and I both saw a bear, actually.
We did see bear.
Well, I saw a different bear than you.
I did, yeah. Mine was bigger.
Yeah, yours was much bigger. Mine was like a little bear cub.
I saw bears. Teddy Grahams.
The teddy bear he brings on every shoot.
The teddy bear I bring with me on every shoot. Barrington bear.
And the Paddington mountain lion bear. In the visitor center, though. I think that's like an eye-opener. Because I have lived in Texas my whole life. I've always known of, you know, out at people's property, mountain lions, bobcats. But when you think of a mountain lion in Texas, I usually think of a pretty large cat.
Yeah.
I don't think of a lion. They have a replica of one that actually they had seen out there, right? And so this one that they have in the visitor center, which is awesome to see, I've been to Africa. This was a lion. Africa. It looked like a female.
Like from
African
the pride.
Lion.
Yes. It's one of those.
It was huge.
Wow. Terrifying.
So to think that those are out there among you, that's pretty cool. It's scary, but pretty cool. They said there was like maybe 15 to 20.
Yeah, yeah.
Like not a ton. Two
but
dozen.
It only takes you, one to run across.
You won't see them. They'll probably see you first. But
that's right.
Right.
And they will stay far, far away. I told the lady, I go, I really want to see a mountain lion this time. She goes, no, you don't. Trust me, no, you don't. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, everyone who sees one comes back terrified. like, you know, I want to see one. And then the second it jumps out, you're like, you wet yourself and, you know, run away. Like, it's one of those things that you think will be cool, but when you see it, you're like, oh, crap, this could turn on an instant. I could become hunted and mauled right now.
Oh, yeah. So well, that's how I felt about the bear that I saw.
That's right. So what were y'all's first perception, sort of, what did y'all expect, and was the park different or better?
Well, we do our research when we go, at least I do, you know, try to, because, you know, we go there to do something. We go there to work, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I tried to get a visual sense of what we're doing and where we're going to go. And so, yeah, I think the scale... I was ready for what we saw, but there's the scale of just how big it is and how long it takes to get there. It wasn't a surprise, but it did impress.
Yeah.
You know, you knew it would take that long, but what holds your attention for how long it's out there? And I think it's to watch the park move in time was pretty fun visually. You know, you're driving for 30 minutes past, or you're driving for 10 minutes or so past the same mountain.
Yeah.
as you curve around it. And so you get to have a vista where there's clouds moving or the sun's moving across. And you can see, it's not just a snapshot. You don't experience snapshots in Big Ben. You can take snapshots, but you experience something over time.
Yeah.
And it really is quite amazing because everywhere you look holds your attention.
Yeah.
You could stare in just that direction, pick a direction, and stare at that for a good 30 minutes.
That's right.
Seeing the detail, seeing how it moves, seeing what the weather changes, people having fun, people driving, and pick another direction and stay there. So that's what impressed me, scale.
Yeah,
scale is crazy,
and everything you can just what you can see, what you can take in visually.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have gone, you know, hiking up mountains around the country, and still come to Big Bend, and they're still amazed.
Yeah,
it's crazy to think that is in Texas, because that looks like something that you would see when you're looking at like a brochure for Colorado. You know,
yeah.
Of course, it is more desertous. There, you know, it's a little more arid.
Desertous.
That sounds like a word to me.
I made it up. I don't care if it's real or not.
Where
it's
you going? It's more desertarian.
It's a little more dry. However, mountains are real. These aren't Texas mountains where they're really just hills.
Yeah,
these
right.
are
we call them
mountains. Yeah. And there's more than like one or two in one spot, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they're everywhere.
They're gnarly too. I mean, the rock formations on them, like it's really
amazing.
Gnarly.
Yeah. I think overall though, I was overwhelmed by all that. And then at the same time, I felt underprepared whenever I was actually hiking. Because I will tell you, Rich, you were kind of joking about stuff I've done in the past. I've done some things, but I've always prepared every time I've done all those hikes. I have not done anything like that in a while. And so whenever I'm hiking with 20 pounds of gear, just for sleeping, not to mention we were also carrying camera gears.
Yeah,
right.
And all this other stuff that I don't normally have to carry. I was huffing and puffing up that mountain, trying to make time so we get there before it's night. And
you good, man?
I'm
good. I'm fine.
it was a real hike.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
No
and
joke.
You never know what the weather's going to be like when you climb any mountain, and so we thought it'd be awesome, and we get up there and. You know, there's a little bit of rain, so
and cold,
it'll slow you down.
And cold,
it gets cold.
And you were saying that earlier, because like the just straight elevation, not the tips, not the peaks of the mountains, but straight base elevation out there is really high.
Yeah.
So that drops the temperature.
I read this overall in the Chisos Mountains, it can be up to 20 degrees cooler than down in the desert. So, which I believe, which we experienced.
Yeah.
Because it was a nice 75, 80
awesome.
Out there up in the mountains.
At the lodge, it's like paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which can confuse you if you're not prepared to go on a hike that's a few thousand feet up or down,
yeah,
depending on which mountain you climb, or if you get out of the basin or not, you might go, oh, I'll be fine dressed in shorts and short sleeve, and then you realize that you pick an activity in the park that's an hour that way and a drop in elevation of whatever, and all of a sudden you're cooking.
You're
cooking hard. Or you go up a mountain, you're like, oh, well, I'm so cold. It felt fine at the bottom. Yeah. And then, yeah. So you got to, that's another thing to like, is prepare for the temperature swings are big. Overall, cooler. Yes, much. But don't let that fool you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's another world. It is awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. Well, so let's get a little bit into sort of the activities people can do in the park. I think we sort of shared that it's a magical place. You need to go. It might be something that's on your bucket list or something you've always heard of that's sort of just way out there and you'll get to it someday. Like, you really need to go. The park is incredible it doesn't matter. Sort of like, we did a more intense hike. We went up the Pinnacles Trail to the South Rim. But, you know, there's, I think a cool thing about Big Bend is you can experience it as the intense outdoorsman, which I think some people think that's all there is there. Or, you know,
it could be your first foray into the park.
The retired RVer is going to have a whole lot of fun there.
Oh,
they're probably not going to push themselves hard.
Yeah, young kids, well, not super, not infants or anything, but, you know, like, it can be your first experience in a national park, and you can have a really great time at the most beginner and novice levels.
Right. I mean, there's trails all across the whole thing. You can pick your length that you want to go on. Right. We went on one that was 12 miles long to the South Rim and back.
Right.
Pretty intense. Extremely intense.
But we also did some of the smaller ones, like going to the Balancing Rock.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, and Richie came on that one, and he was like, I love this. This is awesome.
It was, a mile back?
A mile there and a mile back. But the point is that you were entertained and captured the whole time.
Yeah.
You start on the trail, there's easy spot to park. The rangers and everyone who's part of the park is super helpful.
Oh, crazy.
And not just for us shooting, but just every visitor who's there. They prep you about the water you need, they prep you about the supplies, and it's almost like, I mean, these guys know what they're doing. They pick the trails because there's something for you to do kind of the whole time, and there's every step is a photo op.
Yeah, that's right.
So you can do the easy stuff. Which, what was the name of that trail? The one to get to Balancing Rocks.
Grapevine Hills.
Okay, it's a formation called Balancing Rocks that you get to.
It's the payoff at the end of the hike.
Right, and what a payoff too.
Oh, it was great. It was great. So it's this boulder that somehow got stuck between these two other formations, and it's sort of just sitting there.
Balancing.
Balancing. You can get underneath it. We actually got on top of it.
Which they let you do. They say go for it.
That
all
was
the rocks
one of the
you
cool
can
things.
Climb on the way there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's cool bouldering kind of almost everywhere you go. You can scramble on some stuff.
I loved it that our ranger said we encourage people to get off trail. Like, just go have fun. Knock yourself out. That the world is already too cushy and roped off for people. And like, oh, don't touch that. It'll hurt you. Like, you're going to get hurt, go get hurt. Like,
you need a little bit of common sense out there.
You need common sense for sure.
Actually, that's one of the first parks I've been to that said get off trail.
Yeah,
because usually you're careful. You know, don't cut across trails. Don't do this and that. And they're like, hey, go have fun.
Go have fun. Well, they did say on the switchbacks and the stuff that they've worked crazy hard to build the trails. You don't want to cut them or erode the mountain. But in a lot of spots, they said, you know, go knock yourself out. You want to go climb that cliff? Go for it.
Yeah.
But be careful.
And there, I mean, so hiking, obviously, and pick your poison.
Intense or novice.
Easy.
Yeah.
You know, the window hike is a really popular one that's in the basin for novices because it's about a mile long. I would highly recommend that Balancing Rock hike. That one was great. Going down to Santa Elena Canyon, very short hike. We didn't make it there because there was a flash flood, but
I can see it in the distance.
I know, you can kind of see it in the distance.
And like that from postcards, it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
But as you're driving to it, the scale hits you.
Yeah.
Just how big that wall is, how tall that canyon is.
Yes.
And then, you know, kind of the mystic thing for all the Texans is the Rio Grande, right? To get to it, to see it in a very natural state. And what the river can do in that area. We were there when it was running pretty good, pretty muddy.
Flash flood, yeah. But, you know, the river, they've got over, I read, 118 miles of river in the park. And there are places, three different canyons you can go view. Some of them are 1,500 feet tall. from river to top.
That's nuts.
Yeah, and then places, hot natural hot springs that you can jump into. There's even a border crossing into Boquillas, Mexico.
Official border crossing.
And that little town exists really to support park visitors. So you cross, you ride a donkey up and drink a cerveza in Mexico, just to say you did it, essentially. And which is still pretty awesome.
And then make it back before the crossing closes.
That's right. Crossing closes at 6,
the,
right? We learned.
Well, yeah, or 5. The 5 or 6, depends on what time
sure
of year.
Yeah, make sure you check that. Don't just go to Mexico and like, I'm going to stay there until dark and come back. You won't.
And when you guys are prepping to go, it also is closed on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So border crossing, if you're going to go to Mexico, make sure you double check that.
Just double check all your info.
But I love all the other...
check it all.
A lot of the other activities they offered, like in the way of guided hikes, they were doing...
yeah, there are a lot of cool programs that the
lots
Rangers
of programs.
Were talking about.
I read this. So 450 bird species in the park, 1,200 plant species in the park, and more butterflies than any other national park. That's more bird species than any other national park, too.
Wow.
And I believe that. So
Birders Paradise.
Yes, Birders Paradise. And we saw some of those dudes with their little Audubon patch and their giant camera lens.
Yeah, we saw some bluebirds we kept seeing.
Mexican jay.
I've never even seen those, but they would follow you around waiting for you to feed them or something.
Yeah.
Like they literally follow you up the mountain.
Yeah, they do.
And get like within 3 or 4
walking at you. Yeah.
Cinderella style.
Feed me a cliff bar.
Yeah. Or they're just eyeing you, waiting for one of y'all to drop so they can feast.
Yeah.
That's why they were all following me.
Yeah. Okay. Scavenger birds.
Pick your pockets.
They start with the soft flesh. They start with your eyes. That's where they know.
That's the best part, so they eat that first. Stars. They do star parties, kind of star walks.
Yeah, the sky.
We stayed up past, we stayed up later than we should have, drinking La Kiva and things like that.
Yeah.
But the stars that came out at night, Daniel took some pictures.
Oh, the,
insane.
The Milky Way with your eye.
You could see to infinity.
Yeah.
And the Milky Way shows up
just with your eye.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was
some of the best
really
stars
cool.
I've seen. And seeing the Milky Way like that, you got to be away from all the lights of a city.
Yeah.
There's only so many places now, unfortunately, that you can see that.
Yeah.
Big Ben is definitely one of the best in Texas.
Fort Davis isn't too far. That's why they put the observatory there.
Right,
the McDonald's Observatory. That's some of the darkest spots in the U.S.
In the world.
And it lives up to its name. We had a clear night there. And man, it just jumps at you.
Yeah,
it really just jumps at you. It's really cool.
So some of the, they actually do guided tours. Like they start at 10 p.m. to go and look at all the stars, bird walks, plant walks, fossil dig things. They got all kinds of stuff out there. So
and you can meet them at different parts of the park. Rangers just meet up at this time, and then you take off. And they're timed. It's only an hour. It's just 2 hours. This is 6 hours.
Yeah, right.
You know, water. Be prepared to just. We ended up how many Nalgene bottles? Did we bring with us?
Like 85.
Not enough.
Yeah. Not enough.
Yeah.
Water is something that you're going to need the whole park.
They say to drink a gallon a day if you're out there.
So speaking of, like, you're talking about things you can do, what are some preparation tips? Because we've actually had a few people on Facebook and stuff have asked us, hey, I want to go to Big Ben. What's the best way to get prepared or go for that?
I think Big Ben requires preparation without a doubt. But it doesn't require over-preparation. I know that seems stupid.
Right. There's a lodge. There's a restaurant at the lodge.
Absolutely. If you wanted to treat it like a weekend getaway in Fredericksburg, you could do that.
With a really long drive.
With a really long drive, yeah. Because there's a lodge, great restaurant. Richie ate there maybe 8 or 9
times. 8 or 9 meals there, yeah. No, the staff there is really, really nice. The Wi-Fi at the lodge is good.
Yep.
You can do a little kind of a glamping, camping kind of thing. We stayed in Big Ben. Really, what'd you do? Oh, we stayed in the lodge the whole time. And it's cool. It's really cool.
No one will knock you for that.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. But, man, the outdoors call you.
Yeah.
You get in there, you're like, I'm missing something great. So you do need a little bit of prep as soon as you step out of the lodge and the cabins and stuff.
Right. Now the Rangers can help you when you're there, and they've got stores there that if you were water, you didn't have enough water bottles, no problem. Buy one, you can fill it up. But bring as many water bottles as you have. Bring comfortable shoes.
Oh yeah.
That are snake proof. We actually didn't see any snakes, but they were out.
No, we did see a snake. Remember, Travis actually picked it up and caught it.
Oh, that's right. He saw
that. That was my third step on the trail. I almost stepped on a snake.
That's right.
I mean, it was
Travis jumped on top of that thing and grabbed it.
It wasn't poisonous, but Didn't matter.
Yeah.
I didn't even see the thing.
So, it was a bull snake or a king snake?
I think so.
Snake is a snake.
Yeah. Right.
Comfortable shoes, comfortable inserts in your shoes, comfortable socks for your feet.
Mineral bath for after you hike to soak your feet in.
So shoes are probably the most important thing.
Shoes, water bottles, comfortable clothes.
Okay, so not only comfortable shoes, but and then water past that, and then a variety of things to keep you cool and warm.
Yeah, hat, bandanas that you could dip in and put on your neck.
Right, be smart about things the sun. Like that. Don't be stupid about the sun. Sunscreen. Right. Just about all the time. Yeah.
And I would say that we did the more intense hike up to the South Rim. And for that, you're going to have a lot more preparing because you're going to need a tent. Make sure you bring a rain jacket because we got rained on and none of us had rain jackets except for Brandon. And we were freezing cold in the middle of July or the beginning, very end of June. We were freezing cold. And then, tent, sleeping bag, those sort of things for, primitive campers, because once you get up in the mountains, you're by yourself.
Right.
There's not going to be anything up there.
And there are spots. I mean, it's primitive camping, but there are designated spots to camp. You have to reserve them with the rangers at the top. There's little fees and things like that.
Yeah, but very reasonable fees. I mean, it's cheap, truthfully. Like I think our backcountry permit was $12, and that covered everybody. And it got us a spot, and the spot had a bear box so that we could put all of our smellables in there because the bears are, they know that us tasty humans, they don't want to eat us. They want to eat our stuff.
Yeah, and it's no joke that your trash and all that stuff can attract some serious wild animals.
Well, those are the kind of things you need to know before you go out there about, don't eat at your campsite. You really should eat away from it. Don't sleep with food in your tent. Like all those things.
All you midnight snackers?
Yeah, sorry. You can do it if you want. Just don't be in my tent.
be prepared to share with a bear that doesn't
share
have
with a bear.
Good manners.
I think, my overall tip, I think, for people is don't overthink it or overcomplicate it, because Big Bend, I think, is very intimidating for most people, and it doesn't need to be. You can go out there and have a blast.
Right. Get some gas.
Make sure you got gas. But there's a gas station in the park.
In the park.
Luckily.
Get your gas on the way in. Do a little bit of prep. And take it as it comes. You can always go back. The park's been there forever. 100 years for the Park Service now.
Yeah.
A little longer until Big Bend itself gets to that mark. But, you can come back and get more and more intense as you go.
Oh, of course. Every time I've visited, I've done something new. My new thing this time was balanced rock, which I loved. That was awesome. Yeah.
I would say best advice, though, like first day, don't plan on doing the hardest thing right now.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like show up and take it in. There's so much to take in. Yeah. Relax. You've been in the car for a long time, Just enjoy the first day and then hit the trails the next day or hit the trails later that evening.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then don't be afraid to think about those outside towns, Terlingua ain't far.
Yeah, that's right. Terlingua's really great place. Go get dinner there that one night for sure.
Totally.
That place is strange.
really fun.
It's a great town. I haven't done it yet. Next time I go, I'll go to Mexico. Marathon is right there. There's some fun towns, for little trips outside the park. But, man, I've been four times, and I've seen, 20% of the park, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every time I've done something different. I haven't just gone back and done the same thing.
I don't know if you remember the one park ranger we talked to. She said, if you walk out here, there's a chance you're probably stepping in a place no human has ever stepped. Ever.
And that also.
And that's pretty cool to think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if you get off trail far enough, you could be the only person that's ever put their feet.
Even to today.
In that spot.
Oh, that's crazy. So everybody, stay tuned for the episode. We actually have a back-to-back episode that are going to kick off season 8 for you guys. Might be a little cliffhanger in between them too, something like that. All right, guys, and always remember that if you can't find the shows on PBS, go to thedaytripper.com. We got all the past episodes there. We're at, 75, 80 episodes, something like
70
that.
70 something.
Something.
They all run together now.
I know they do, don't they? They're all there on our website, or you can find them on the PBS app. It's on Apple TV, Roku, iPhone, Android. Just get on there, search for The Day Tripper. We're just click away, folks. Just click away.
Right. So that's the best way to find the content. As soon as we release it,
yep,
you can find it on thedaytripper.com episodes, and there we are.
Bam. All right, well, thanks again to our sponsor, Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes. That little burger I just ate is settling really nice in my stomach right now.
That was delicious.
Wasn't it, though?
Oh, man.
Very good. Very good.
All right. So, of course, you know, stay tuned for the new season coming out in October. If you want to support the show, find our general store online. And anyway, we'll be out there filming. Keep your eye out for us this summer. We will see all y'all out on the road. Bye, con Dios, amigos.